Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and we have Captain Kieran Hookham right beside me. But we do have our very, very special co-host is Wendy Tuchihara. And she is not only a lady angler, but she is one of the most recognized lady anglers on the West Coast. And also, we have right now coming in with us is John Pomeroo. And John, I'm not really sure what you do.
Well, I can say that he has beautiful pictures.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. I love angling, too. And one of the times of year that it's best for me is in fall, and I'm editor of California Fall Color.
Ah, beautiful. Your pictures were gorgeous. We're going to get them up on Facebook, too.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It's really a beautiful time in California. And if you live along the coast, and I know a lot of listeners do, they don't see the fall color. But when you get up into the Sierra Nevada or up into the San Jacintos or the San Bernardinos or anywhere where you get a little bit of height, there's a lot of fall color out there.
Now, the good thing is when you're where you're talking about going, it's always beautiful. But this is a particularly good time of the year because of the different colors that's going on. And the, obviously, if you're going to be up there, you're going to be taking your fishing rod with you.
In fact, I sent you a picture yesterday, John, of somebody at North Lake, which is in the Bishop Creek Canyon, just west of Bishop, California, on US 395. And who's out in the middle of the lake standing there but up-fly fishermen, of course.
Yes.
Going for some big lunker that's hiding there in the lake.
Right. Well, Wendy, have you had the opportunity to fish in those areas?
Actually, yes, I have, and I was just about to jump in.
Okay.
I love fishing the Bishop area. You go into Bishop off of 395, you hit Line Street, you go 17 to 20 miles up the mountain, and you have South Lake up there. But not only do you have South Lake, you've got North Lake, you've got the Intake 2, you've got the whole area over there, and it's really nice, especially this time of year, with all of the aspen trees and the different colors that they have.
Mm-hmm. See, you don't have to go to the East Coast
no,
to get the
don't.
Colors.
No, you can get the different colors. Now, John, I guess the difference is on the East Coast, there's a difference because it's, as we were talking yesterday, it's a matter when you go north and south is when the colors change.
Color drops in the in New England and in Canada and in the Midwest by latitude. In other words, it starts up in Canada and descends through the states. Whereas in California, it descends by elevation or altitude. And it starts up at 10,000 feet and starts dropping. Right now, above 8,500 feet in the eastern Sierra, anywhere from Inyo County, from the Bishop Creek Canyon, all the way up to Tioga Pass in Mono County, the color is around 85 to 9,000 feet right now at full peak. And different from Colorado, where a lot of the aspen are yellow, in California they're bright orange and red and yellow and pink and all kinds of other colors. And then you've got these beautiful granitic peaks rising above it, and great blue lakes there, freshwater lakes that are, you know, just all melted snow, nice and cold with big trout in them, and it's just quite a scene.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we all know, there's a lot of reasons to go fishing, and it's not always about catching fish.
In fact, for me, it's often not about catching fish. It's about everything that goes on with it.
And obviously, Wendy, that you've been there, you experience it, and you've fished in a lot of different areas. But let's talk a little bit about the mountains. And, John, what is it you said you're editor of?
I'm editor of CaliforniaFallColor.com, which is on the Internet. And it reports from from this month, September, all the way through Thanksgiving Day on fall color to be seen all over California, not just in the eastern Sierra.
Mm-hmm. So if anybody's in their motorhome and they're trying to decide which direction to go, this might be it. Now, what about north and south? California is there's a long ways from from Crescent City, you know, all the way down to Bishop area. So what? Give us an idea about what's available in different areas.
Well, absolutely. The color starts in kind of a spiral action in California. It starts in the eastern Sierra near Bishop and then spirals north up through the northern Sierra to the Shasta Cascade, Lassen Volcanic National Park, and the areas near Shasta, Shasta Lake, and so forth have some fall color in there that's quite beautiful. Then it runs across to the north coast and down through the coast and Central Valley down to Southern California. Right now, Southern California, the mountains that run from Mount Laguna, Palomar, and the areas around Julian in San Diego County, all the way north to San Bernardino, are showing in what we call patchy. That means they're from anywhere from 10 to 50% of color changes occurred, but still quite beautiful, and there's some spectacular aspen groves up near San Bernardino, as well as beautiful black oak that show down there.
Oh, it sounds, my God, I'm so sorry, because there was so much information there. I was trying to write it all down.
Well, you don't have to write it down. If you go to my site, californiafallcolor.com, there's actually an interactive Google map in which you can click on it, blow it up, and you'll see leaves that are green, yellow, orange, red, and hopefully you don't see too many brown leaves, because the brown leaves mean that the color's changed there. But right now we're actually showing some high peak and near peak leaves on this map.
No, are they turning? They're turning quickly, aren't they, because we haven't had a lot of rain?
Yeah, exactly right. What's happened is that the drought has accelerated the time that the trees show color. So they're starting to turn about the same as they did last year, but they're not lasting as long,
right,
at least so
mm-hmm.
far. So we're seeing the color change just about even with last year, but they may go for a week instead of for 2 weeks like they did in the past. That's because there's not a lot of moisture in those trees and mm-hmm. in the ground, and therefore they just don't have the life to sustain the greenness or the lime color and have that slow turn. So
whereas,
they're turning a lot faster.
Right, whereas in the East Coast, there's so much rain. They've had so much, so it should be, you know, mm-hmm. go longer.
Right. Wendy, this is a beautiful time of the year to go up there, and especially if you can go up to areas that don't get a lot of pressure and you don't find any Winnebago's part next to the lake. What are some of your favorite places, and what type of fish would you target this time of the year?
Well, you know, it's funny that you should mention the fish and fall colors, because right now we're coming into October, and usually this is when the brown trout and the big broodstock brook trout get, and it's really bright, vibrant, looks like fall colors. And you know, one of my most favorite places to go is called Kerman Lake, and it's like a one-tenth of a mile off of 95 up the Tioga Pass. And the colors there this time of year should be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And trout,
yeah.
huge trout that are in the four-pound range that are bright orange and bright red.
Right up above Mammoth. Wendy, you're breaking up a little bit on your cell phone, so we're going to, obviously, you're going to be here, and we're going to have you back in the next segment we've got coming up. We're going to be talking to Alaska, and then you're going to be helping ladies get involved, not just in fishing, but in tournament fishing. But before we do that, we have John. We're going to be coming up in about a minute or so, but give us some ideas and tips that you may have of where to go, how to go, and find out more about it.
Well, yeah. In fact, I was going to say about what Wendy just said, that I got the hat trick of brown, brook, and rainbow this summer. So I was very pleased, and that was at Mammoth Lakes, right near Mammoth Lakes. But I would say right now, for the next couple of weeks, the eastern Sierra is where it's going to turn. It's going to move up to Dune Lake, which is spectacular in Mono County, about the first or second week. Then it goes north into Plumas County and the Shasta Cascade. Southern California, as I said, is showing, just starting to show in the high mountain areas, and that will show. But, you know, we have the longest lasting fall color in the United States. It'll
right.
actually continue to show color up through Thanksgiving Day
Perfect.
In different
okay.
parts of the state.
Well, John, we have to go, and we appreciate that very much. We would like to make sure that we're going to put your pictures and your information on Facebook.
Yeah, cool. They're already up. I'm looking at them.
Cool. Thank you. So go to Fish Talk Radio Facebook and check that out and get in touch with John. Wendy, don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back with Fish Talk Radio.
Fishing is better than a good day at work.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Sandos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santo's Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
The Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-382-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep-sea adventure by calling 805-382-1612.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years' experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
You can't catch fish.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and we have Captain Karen Hookham in studio with trying to keep me in line. But we also
got some great ladies, too.
Our co-host today is I don't want to sound sexist, but Wendy is a very attractive young lady and a very accomplished angler. But and then we also have another attractive young lady. We have Stephanie Madsen at Sea Processors Association Alaska. Is that right?
That's correct. It's the at Sea Processors Association.
At Sea Processors. As a matter of fact, if you want to go to their websites, it's a real difficult one. It's atsea.com.
Atsea.org, that's correct.
Org, right, that's right. Okay, well, I'm sure that Wendy has a couple of questions, but why don't you start off about telling us about the fleet, maybe how many boats, you know, what these boats do, where they go, and how is it that all this fantastic food shows up in our local stores and, you know, maybe in, you know, some of the...
Or on my plate.
Or on my plate, yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, great. I appreciate the opportunity. hope that your listeners will appreciate the information. I represent companies that own and operate 16 catcher processors. Catcher processors are large vessels and 350-400 feet. We have about anywhere from 100 to 150 people on board. Wow. So we do exactly what we describe ourselves. We catch the fish and we process it on board. Our fishery is called the pollock fishery. It is the largest fishery in the United States and one of the largest fisheries in the world. We catch 1.2 million metric tons of pollock. So your readers, listeners can do that calculation to pounds. It's a lot. It's been sustainable. It has been a fishery that has received the Marine Stewardship Council certification as well as the Responsible Fisheries Management. It's a midwater fishery. I know a lot of people get confused in trawling and trolling.
Stephanie, I'm sorry, but your signal, I think, is bouncing off the moon, and there's probably nothing you can do about it unless we try and call you back. But let's go ahead and keep going, and maybe it'll get better. But go ahead, Stephanie.
Uh-oh.
I think we lost her.
Okay.
Well,
get her back on.
Yeah, okay. let's go ahead.
Let's get Wendy on.
Okay. Wendy?
You know, that sounds really interesting, and this is the first time I'm hearing of Sea Processors Association, and it seems like a really big operation with 16 vessels up to 150 to 400-foot ships.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess they sometimes call them factory ships, but, I think the big difference is you and I have been aware of these foreign country factory ships that come in, especially maybe down in Baja, and they'll find a school of tuna, and they'll wrap it up, and then you go out there in your small private boat looking for them, and they should have been here yesterday because they came and got them all. But this is a different type of fishery where they've been doing it for a long time, and they know what to do, how to take it, and how to do it without depleting the fishery.
Well, yeah, and interesting because she did mention that they were sustainable, which is great. And do they fish the pollock year round? When do they fish them?
Well, let's hopefully we get her back. But the areas that they go, man, that is, and again, we talk about the deadliest catch. Those are the same kind of waters that they're fishing in. So I don't know that answer, but that's I guess will be the first one as soon as if we can get Stephanie back on the line with us. But, okay, we got her?
Yes.
There you go.
Again.
Hey, sorry, Stephanie.
I'm a long way away.
Yes, you are. Hey, Wendy was asking me a question, and obviously I don't know the answer. What is the season for what you do?
Well, we have two seasons. We have the A season and we have a B season. The A season is what we call the roe season, where we get the fish eggs. That starts January 20th and goes to April. The B season starts June 1st and ends November 1st.
And then what do you do?
Then
you go to Baja.
Some of the vessels fish hake, Pacific whiting, off the coast of Oregon and Washington. Other vessels go to shipyard.
Yeah. And what do you do?
I work 24/7, 12 months a year.
Yeah. Well,
if the boats aren't fishing, then we're in meetings talking about the next year's quotas or the regulations, or there's always something to talk about.
Right,
well, give us an idea how that process works. You pull the fish on board,
yep.
And then what happens to them, and then what happens to them after that?
Okay. Well, we pull the fish on board. Our nets are very large nets, so we have a homogeneous catch. I mean, we have like 99% of our catch is pollock, so it's a pretty clean fishery. We have two federal observers on board that are monitoring our catch and confirming any kind of species composition or looking at making sure we are catching what we're supposed to catch. And
well, what's going over there?
Yeah, and so we have two federal observers on board, and then it goes to the factory where it's head and gutted and filleted, and some of the other products go into what they call surimi, which is then made into the imitation crab products that people have.
Oh, okay.
And then we also keep the eggs. We send the eggs primarily to Japan and some of the Asian markets. A lot of the fillets, people may be eating at McDonald's or Burger King on the fish sandwiches. And even in the freezer case now, you'll see frozen breaded pollock fillets. So that's all us.
Now, the fish tend to have different names once it gets labeled in the grocery store. As we all well know at the commercial, it's like, you know, if you see red snapper, usually just means it's some kind of rockfish. It doesn't really actually mean it's red snapper. But pollock, is it used under different names? And it's a very popular one for fish and chips, isn't it?
I think that pollock is, as well as cod. Pollock is really the name that you're going to see it under, unless you see the term surimi. Because surimi is a product form made out of pollock that's used in the making of, like, as the example I gave you was the imitation crab. So we primarily, you know, it's big, very big in France and Germany. That's one of our big fillet markets, as well as McDonald's and Burger King. And so it goes globally. It's definitely a global fish.
Well, once you process it, then how do you get it to the stores, to Germany and France and McDonald's?
Well, we bring it into shore, which is really, and many of your listeners have already listened to Sig Hansen. And so we bring it into Dutch Harbor on Alaska Port. It's offloaded into vans or trampers, depending on where that product is going. And then it gets shipped, and often it goes to secondary processing to do the breading or some of the other stuff before it gets to its ultimate destination.
Well, you know, that's a, you know, it's a whole different business that, you know, most of us haven't thought of. And the amount of people that you employ. By the way, I don't know if you have the numbers, but I've heard that the amount of people that are involved in fishing in Alaska is something like half the population, or it's
well, I'm not sure it's half the population. I'd like to think it was, but we do pride ourselves in being the number one private employer in the state of Alaska, the seafood industry, and we are really probably the number two taxpayer behind oil. But we are the largest private employer in the state of Alaska.
Wow. Fascinating subject. And give us a little bit of an idea. Let's just say that Wendy decides she wants to go pollock fishing in Alaska. She gets on the boat. What's her typical day?
Well, it depends on what she does. We have processors that would be in the factory. That's your typical processing line. You know, you've got your reindeer on, and you've got a station, and you do that until the product is done. You might work on deck, and you might be handling the net or some of the mechanical stuff. You might be in the galley. You might be doing some of the laundry. You might be an observer that's making sure that we are accounting for everything that we are removing and making sure we're following all the rules. Or maybe you don't even go out on the boats, but maybe you work in the office and you're looking for your marketing people. And
is this like an 8-to-5 day when you're on the ship?
No, when you're on the ship, it's usually more like 12 to 14 hours, you know, because you're out there, you want to get it done and you want to get home.
Okay.
So it's a 24/7 operation, depending on how the fishing is going, and I think that's the attractiveness of the positions. A lot of the time, if people want to go out there, they're hard workers. They want to get there. They want to fish. They want to process, and then they want to get home.
Okay. And how long do they normally stay out?
Well, the trips are usually maybe a week or so. So I'd say maybe 3 months.
Wow.
Hey, Stephanie. Stephanie, I wanted to find out, do you guys in out here in California, they're talking about putting cameras on the boats, on the commercial boats. Are you guys in discussion as far as putting cameras on the boat along with the observers? And then what kind of bycatch do you guys have?
Okay. Well, I think what you're talking about is what we term electronic monitoring. And so they're really looking at electronic monitoring or cameras for the smaller vessels that can't really take up body out there. Like we have, you know, room to take two observers.
I'm sorry, Wendy and Stephanie, but it looks like we're really much out of it. But Stephanie did say that, was it 90-some percent of your catch is what you're looking for? There's very little bycatch.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. We
All
do
right.
have some bycatch,
gotcha.
But it's, we okay. have regulations.
Okay. Control. And your website, if somebody wants to know more about it, is the, a real
that's,
easy one.
It's atc.org.
Right.
Atc.org.
And it's AT, not the at sign.
Okay. ATC.
Right.
Oh, perfect. Okay, we got to go. Wendy, stick okay. around. Thank you very much, Stephanie. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Hey, Mike, I think we need some more cowbell.
I'm John Hennigan, host of Fish Talk Radio. This is Common Sense Conservation, brought to you by Santa Monica Seafood. We have Dr. Lauren Everett.
Hello, John. My background in this area deals with what we're doing for the World Federation of Scientists in Switzerland. We work on planetary emergencies. One of those is associated with our dying oceans that I will be chairing in the next couple of months. And that has to do with the impacts of runoff from our agricultural activities around the world. And therein lies the problem of what helps agriculture can hurt the ocean, meaning that the nitrates and phosphates that grow our crops, as they run off to our rivers and lakes and streams and enter the ocean, they create what's referred to as algal blooms, filamentous blue-green algae, for example, algae that will produce an acid called domoic acid that is really quite toxic. But the greater effect is that it creates dead zones. It creates a buildup of organic matter that will use up all of the oxygen, and those dead zones preclude any kind of biotic life, whether it's animal or fish, living in those areas.
What can or should we do?
We need to control our runoff from our agricultural activities to make sure that they do not enter our rivers and our oceans. And we need to control our fertilizer application rates so that the amount that is applied is actually used by the plant and not discharged to the groundwater or to surface water so that it can run off and create these problems in our waterways.
Thank you, Dr. Everett. Santa Monica Seafoods works for sustainable fisheries.
East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico, still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Fix me some coffee and a honey bun, jumped in my pickup.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with Captain Karen Hookup, and we have the...
Now I'm Hookup, not Hook'em?
Hook'em.
You just said Hookup.
Oh, I thought you hooked up, you
I'm
said.
I'm not hooking up. This is funny.
That's not what you said last night. Yeah. Anyway, also, to get serious just for a second, though, is we do talk about Baja a lot, and I've got very close ties down there. And if you could go to our Facebook and see what you can do, the worst of it's over. They still don't have power and electricity after the Hurricane Odile in a lot of places, but a lot of people lost their homes, their livelihood. And they could sure use some help. So if you go to Facebook, we've got some different information and ways you can do that. So we appreciate that. Now, Wendy, you said that you started off at a young age fishing, and you, one time you were even doing some tournament fishing, right?
Right. You know, when I was a kid, most Japanese families, they take their kids up to Mammoth and go fishing in the Sierras for trout. And I had always loved fishing and camping. And when I got pregnant with my first child, I couldn't play sports anymore. So I started going to a local lake and started fishing and met some guys and made some friends. And they talked me into fishing bass tournaments. And, you know, it was, I just jumped in. I just, you know, feet in the fire. And the first year I started fishing bass tournaments, I had a partner. He made a pass at me. I kicked him off my team. And I borrowed boats and finished out the circuit and won Angler of the Year the first time fishing a bass tournament.
Now, that is not Woman Angler of the Year. That's Angler of the Year, right?
That was in the singles division. I won the Angler of the Year.
Wow!
And that was against men.
That's impressive. Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
And so I, you know, of course, then I got the bug. You know, I was hooked.
Right.
You know, and
literally.
And, yes, I was. And then so I started noticing that there weren't very many women who got out there and fished. And I, you know, after a few years, I became a single mom. I got divorced. And I wanted to teach my kids how to fish, and I didn't have a man in my life to help them teach, but my dad had taught me when I was younger.
Right.
So I actually started teaching my kids how to fish, and then I also, and then I got sponsored by company, and throughout my tournament career, I ended up getting some really big sponsors like Triton Boats, and I got a new boat every 10 months. And it just grew, and it was really neat to see. So my goal back then was to get more women involved in fishing and to teach women how to take, especially single moms, how to tie knots and how to rig, and so that they could teach their kids how to fish and pass on a great pastime.
So, Wendy, it sounds like trying to find the passion in fishing for women and, you know, for them to be able to enjoy the outdoors, because you have to like the outdoors, first of all. Second of all, you got to have some interest in being out on the water. Not everybody has sea legs, though that doesn't mean that you can't gain sea legs and, you know, be out on the water. I grew up, like you did, with a dad who took us camping and we fished. And so I'm definitely an outdoorsy girl. So I love learning how to do those things, and most importantly, also sharing that with your kids, because it just creates more of a family
unit. Well, that's the whole thing about, you know, the American culture and family. That's what fishing is all about. Now, Stephanie,
that's Wendy.
Wendy, why don't you give us some ideas on for women that are interested? You know, even if they're stark amateurs, but even if they're, you know, they've
thinking
been around
about it,
thinking about it. About what it takes and why to get into tournament fishing.
Well, as far as getting into tournament fishing, what it takes is, like Karen said, you need passion. You know, it's got to be something that you really love to do, because it is grueling. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of time on the water. And it's a lot better if, being female and you have kids and you can bring your kids with you and enjoy the outdoors with them, and get them involved, and then you can start tournament fishing as soon as you get your feet wet, you can start tournament fishing as like a team, and you can go out there and have your son or daughter as your tournament partner.
Well, like you said, like she said earlier, about how you know, the guy made a pass at her, she mm-hmm. kicked him off the boat, and she was determined. You were determined to not necessarily, you know, win, but that you were determined to, you know, catch some fish and really show them off that just because you're a girl doesn't mean that you can't fish like a guy, basically.
Oh, and it's so funny because
you've
got guys, I'm out there in the bass boat by myself. We're over at Lake Paris, and it's a deep water bite. We're in 60 to 80 feet of water spooning, and I'm catching fish. And guys are starting to encroach, and there's a 25-foot encroachment rule. And it's just so funny because they don't, you know, back then you didn't get the respect you get now.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, it was a, you know, kind of a tough road to pave, but it's really nice to see that now there are more women starting to get into this industry. And in order to make this industry grow, we need the women and the children to participate.
Well, it's really fun. I mean, I have to say that when I went fishing with John the first time last year, and I got so excited when I just fishing off the pier catching pompano. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, it's just a thrill. And you have to have the patience and, you know, you have to enjoy the outdoors. Not necessarily, you know, it's just another activity mm-hmm. to do. And it's an enjoyable activity because mm-hmm. there's a reward right. at the end of the rod.
Well, I'm sorry, Wendy, but I just want to interject. I personally think that women have an advantage in fishing in some ways.
We have an advantage all the time.
Okay.
You know, women do have an advantage as far as feel and sensitivity. You know, when I was fishing tournaments, I looked at it this way. Most of the guys that are fishing tournaments are guys who can afford to take the time off, or they're in construction and they're during the off season. If it's raining, they're fishing. But those guys have calloused hands. Those guys, I really, when it comes to finesse fishing, I think women are a lot better in finesse fishing. But not only that, they are very good. We are very good listeners. So if we have somebody tell us what we're supposed to do, we actually listen. And
you mean it's like women will ask directions?
Yes, something like that.
You know, Wendy, we have occasionally we've had Betty from Ladies Let's Go Fishing
in Florida.
In Florida. And she's awesome. If you haven't checked her out, definitely check out her website. And
well, back to the idea of some of the advantages that women have. You mentioned that they have a softer feel or more sensitive feel. I'm not a patient angler, and I don't like to just
wait a minute. Do you really want me to go there with that?
Well, I don't see making 100 casts trying to catch one fish, and they also. I think it's well recognized that women have a tendency to be better fly fishers because, you know, they're not trying to, you know, to overpower it.
But we're also really competitive. Don't you agree, Wendy? We are competitive.
Oh, we are so competitive. And you know, I mean, even it's not just being competitive against the other angler. I'm competitive against the fish. It's me against the fish.
Right. Well,
and
we find ways to be competitive.
Yes. And, you know, even to me, you talk about some people don't have the sea legs to go out there and go fish. My passion is fishing. I love it so much. I get seasick. My nickname is Wasabi. I turn green. But I still go out there and I go do it. And it's still so much fun.
Yeah, no, it is. I get a thrill out of it. I think it's really fun. I have to say I'm not a big fan of baiting. It's okay if somebody else baits the fish for me, but
no,
I got no problem. I do have sea legs. I have no problem mm-hmm. being out on now, the ocean or whatever. On
Wendy,
the lake.
With what you're doing more recently in California, you tend to do more offshore. Is that right?
Yes. Lately, yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. How old are your kids now?
I have a 21-year-old and a soon-to-be 22-year-old.
Oh, wow. Well, happy. And boy, girls, or?
They're both girls.
Oh, perfect.
Fun. That's awesome. See, you had your calling. This
oh,
is
yeah.
it.
Can you? Yeah, these two young.
And they like it? They enjoy fishing?
They like it, but there's so many other things going
yeah.
on.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that age, right.
It's never too young to teach your kids how to fish.
Right.
I taught my kids first, before anything, my kids were tying the double San Diego jam knot at age 3, and we're entering competitions at age 5, and they won every single year because kids really listen
mother.
To directions.
Yeah.
No, but kids listen to directions, and every single year at the Fred Hall Show, the children mm-hmm. out-tie the adults.
Oh, isn't
interesting.
That great?
Well, they've got, you know, they've got more nimble figures, and they can see better. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Wendy, we've only got about a minute left, so I don't know if there's anything else that you want to bring up, but we also want to find out more about how to get in touch with you, and I'm hoping that we can put you on more regularly.
And, oh, sure. I would love to join you more regularly. What were you going to say, Karen?
Oh, I was going to say that I'm occasionally in San Diego, so I'll have to look you up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. is in person. And if anyone would like to get a hold of me, you know, I am just all over the place. You can just Google me and you'll find me.
Yep, you can. I've been Googling you this whole time.
Oh, well, by the way, if you do Google, you're going to be there for a while, because just for fun, I checked in, and I think you covered all of the first 10 pages.
Yeah, really. And just to be sure that our listeners know, the correct spelling of your last name is T-O-C-H-I-H-A-R-A.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's it. That's it for this segment, Wendy and Karen, and you are listening to Fish Talk Radio.